Have your Bibles tonight, I want you to turn with us to the book of the Revelation, chapter number 2. The book of the Revelation, chapter number 2. Last week we looked at the message to Ephesus, the church that had left their first love and were in danger of having their light or their candlestick removed from them. Sad to say, there's a lot of churches that's lost their light. They've left their first love. They got a building with a steeple, but they're just ineffective in this old world that we live in today. But tonight I want to look at this second message right here to the church at Smyrna. The church at Smyrna, only four verses right here are given to this church right here in this letter, but there's a lot said in these four verses right here. And it would behoove us to listen to all these church letters and realize that these were seven individual churches in Asia, but it's also seven different church ages from the time of Christ on down to the day that we live in today. And every message that's gone out of this Word of God is relevant to us in the day that we live today. And so just as God was speaking to the church at Ephesus and to the church at Smyrna and these other churches, He's speaking to us in the day in which we live today. And we can be strengthened and encouraged through these words that He has to say. Now, the church right here at Smyrna, Smyrna means bitter. It has to do with suffering. And we know that through studying the Word of God and through studying history of the church ages right here, that the period that this ran from about 100 A.D. to 314 A.D., was a time of great persecution upon the church. You might say, well, we're persecuted today. No, we're not suffering persecution here in the United States like maybe some places in the world could be today. But these people right here, Fox's Book of Martyrs says that there were some 5 million Christians martyred or killed during this time period. And so they were undergoing a severe, severe persecution for their faith and for their testimony and for their work for the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord spoke to them right here to encourage them. And He gives a letter of approval to him. This church had no condemnation. There was no rebuke. There was no reproving to this church right here. And this church and later on Philadelphia, they didn't have any reproof, but all these other churches did. But let's look tonight at the letter of approval by the Lord. And it's not only their approval right here, but it's to assure them that God is in control. You know, this old world's in chaos today in which we live today. And I tell you, it's depressing times if you just look around at this old world right here. But I'm glad we can look up tonight, Brother Lee, and realize that God is still on the throne and everything's going right according to His plan, and to be a child of God is a blessing tonight. Hey, Brother Tim, I appreciate the song that you sang a while ago because it lines up perfectly with this message right here to this church right here and what Jesus had to say to them. Let's notice right here. Let's read these four verses and then we'll go back and kind of break them down as we go through them here. And we'll share with you what God has laid upon our heart. The Bible says, "And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou," notice this, "shalt suffer." Shalt suffer. "Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. And you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." Now, I remind you again of what He says to each of these churches. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches." We need to get our spiritual ears tuned up to the Word of God tonight, and listen to what God has to say to us. You know, I was talking about discouraging times. Well, I'm encouraged by, whenever I get into the Word of God, I can find some encouragement in there, some things that'll help me and get me over some discouraging things in this old world right here. Child of God, there's a better day that's coming for you and for me. Those of us that's saved, friend, we can stand upon the promises of God and realize that He's soon to come, and we're going to get out of this mess right here. You know, it is depressing to see the things that's going on and the things that we may face and our children may face or our grandchildren may face. But get them to Jesus. Get them saved. That's the most important thing in this life. We focus too much on getting prepared to live down here. We better be getting prepared to live up yonder, because Jesus is coming. He's coming for His church one glorious day. We have that hope, and that hope will never fade away. It's a promise that God has made to us. But tonight, let's look at the focus of their trust right here. Notice what it says right here in verse number 8. Speaking to the church right here, the focus of the church. He says, "These things saith the first and the last." And can I say He's everything in between? And let me say what He says right here. He says, "Which was dead and is alive." I'm glad I know tonight that my Redeemer lives. You hear what I'm saying? My Redeemer lives tonight. And I can talk to Him. I can walk with Him. He speaks to me. And He encourages me. He's given me of the Spirit, the seal of the Spirit. I know I'm His. I know I've been born again. I'm thanking God tonight for the promises to know that He was dead and He is alive. And remember this tonight too. The reason He died was for your sins and for my sins. Hey, we ought to be a thankful people. Amen. Jesus died for us. He gave His life's blood that we might have a chance at life. Amen. All right, I'm talking about the focus of the church, the trust of the church. But notice then the call of the church right here. They were focused on their calling. Jesus said, "I know thy works. I know thy works." He's speaking about their toil right here, about the works that they were doing, even though they were persecuted, undergoing severe persecution, and the many dangers that they faced under persecution. They kept on going. They kept pressing on. And let me tell you, in the day that we live today, we as a church of the living God, we need to keep pressing on for His honor and His glory and for the generations that's coming along behind us. There's lost people, friends, that's coming in and out these doors, out in the world that we meet on a daily basis. Hey, they need to hear about Jesus. And we've got a work to do. Keep lifting Him up. Everywhere we go, everything we do, we ought to glorify Him. Their focus of their trust, the church, they were focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where our minds and lives ought to be focused upon. The call, the work, the toil that He has for you and I to do. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, we're all acquainted with that verse. We're created in Christ Jesus unto good works that He hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Sounds like we got a work to do, don't it? If we're a child of God, we've got a job to do. God has given it to you and I, and He's ordained that we should be walking in some good works as we journey through life. The devil would have us to get focused on everything else in this old world right here. But they were focused. This church was focused upon Christ. They were focused upon their call and their works they were doing. But notice this right here about the circumstances. They were focused on some circumstances too. Can I tell you, troubles will get you turned to where you can't see nothing but your troubles. Amen. And no doubt this church right here, we can't even imagine what they were going through. And no doubt they had to focus sometimes upon their troubles. But they made a decision that they were going to be faithful. Amen. Life can get you down. Troubles will get you down. But don't lose your focus upon Christ. Amen. We're the church of the living God, and He's got something for us to do. Now listen, where did their troubles come from? During this time period, Rome had the province of Asia right there, and these seven churches were in Asia. Rome demanded Caesar worship. They demanded that all the people worship Caesar. In this church, hey, let me tell you what the Bible says over in Revelation 22. John saw these things and heard them, and when I heard them seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, thy brethren the prophets, of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. Yes. Worship God. Now, if angels are not worthy to be worshipped, then we're to worship God. And these people right here knew that they were not supposed to be worshiping Caesar. They were supposed to be worshiping God. And they were faithful to what they were called to do. Can I tell you something about the day that we live in? There's a lot of idol worship going on. How many of y'all guilty of watching American Idol? Uh-huh. There's a lot of idol worship going on in America. Now think about it. There's people that'll get all tore up by the football team. About a quarterback. Hey, about a running back, a receiver, somebody in basketball. People are easily led to worship people. Worship God. Man can't do nothing for you. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Most of them won't do nothing for you. But Jesus will bow his ear toward you. Jesus will forgive you your sins. Jesus will help you along life's way if we just put our focus upon Him. Not only the focus of their trust, but their faith was their treasure. Their faith was their treasure. Now notice what the Bible says right here. He said, I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. Yes. Now notice this right here. He said that this word poverty right here, it means that they had nothing. Nothing. They were broke. Their possessions had been taken from them. When a person refused to bow down and worship Caesar, they were blackballed. They were outcasts. They were pushed aside. That's the way a lot of Christians are in these Muslim countries today. They have a hard time making a living because of their faith, because of their beliefs. Many of them stand true to their beliefs, and they're persecuted for it. That's the way it was in this church in this day. They were living in poverty, and they were persecuted for their faith. But notice what Jesus said right here, but thou art rich. Rich. You know, a lot of times we get down because we see somebody riding a big new car or something that they got we wish we had. And we just get down. We feel so sorry for ourselves because we ain't got no big job making big money and the things. And well, I wish I had one of them. Y'all ever been in that boat? Yeah, you have. You get to feeling sorry for yourself. That's not where your treasure is. That's nothing that's going to last if you get it. I remember buying an old car one time. Man, that thing was a beauty. It had these spoke wheels, all the chrome all over it was a shiny button. I mean, I was so proud of that thing. I parked it in the building. I didn't leave it outside. And you know what? After a month or so, I'd go out there and get to looking at that thing, and one day I got down at one of the wheels, and it began to rust. And before I know it, man, I was a-rubbing and a-shining and trying to get the rust off, but that thing was a-going down. Going down. I wound up selling it. Getting rid of that thing. You see, my treasure, I thought that thing was the thing to have, but oh no. But I tell you, I've got a treasure tonight, looking back at a day when the Lord Jesus Christ gave me a little measure of faith. Just like a grain of a mustard seed. But it moved a mountain of sin one day when I called upon Jesus, asked Him to forgive me, save me. Hey, let me tell you, that faith worked in my life, and I'm glad I got faith tonight. What a blessing. Rich in faith. I know thy poverty, but thou art rich. Thou art rich. to be a Christian tonight. I wouldn't swap places with, what's his name, old Bezos? Ain't he the richest man in the world, owns Amazon? Richest man in the world. But one day when he draws his last breath and his heart beats the last time, all them riches can't buy him another breath. It can't buy him another heartbeat. It'll never buy him out of hell. It'll never buy him into heaven. Worthless. Faith in Christ. It's the riches this old world knows nothing about. It's good to be saved. The focus of their trust, their faith, was their treasure. And may I say this too, faith's under attack. Faith's always been under attack. Jude told us we better earnestly contend for the faith that's once delivered to the saints. Yes. We older Christians in here, we're supposed to be contenders of this faith, and we're supposed to be delivering it to the next generation. Amen. Our faith ain't dead. It's alive. Well, it'll be lively when we come to the house of God and worship God. Faith, it'll also be tested. My faith will be tested. Your faith will be tested in various trials as we go through life. God will test your faith to show you how much faith you got. He already knows. He ain't going to test my faith to see how much faith I got. He knows my faith. But He'll test your faith so you can see how much faith you've got. And were you going to put your trust in Him or not? And when we go through fiery trials, our foundation will be tested. When the floods and the fires come up in our lives, then we'll see how strong our faith is. In the way we face our trials, we can grow in faith, or we can turn and we can harm our faith. If we'll look to Him, He'll help us so. Now notice this right here. Also, we see right here future trials or future tribulation. I don't know what tomorrow holds for me and you, but I know who holds tomorrow. Notice what He said. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. I don't like that. I don't like suffering, do you? No. But He said to fear not. Notice this right here. These people, no doubt, from day to day, they were faced with, no doubt they had to be terrified. I mean, they were Christians being put to death. They wasn't just getting their feelings hurt. They were being put to death. And no doubt there was times when they were terrified and they needed assurance. We need assurance in our lives. When we're suffering, when we're down and out and we need lifting up, we need God's assurance in our lives. This is what the Lord was bringing to these people right here. Now, notice the things that He says right here in verse number 10 right here. He mentions the physical or the earthly aspect that we would look at and not like. He mentions suffering. He mentions prison. He mentions tribulations. He mentions the devil. And He mentions death. And you know, these are things right here that we don't like to be associated with. We don't like to think about it in our lives. But then again on the spiritual side of it, notice what He says right here to us. He says, fear not. You know, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind, if we'll trust Him. And realize that these things right here, in this old world that we face, and that the things that we go through are not going to last. He says, fear not. And he mentions this right here. 10 days in this verse right here. He said, you shall have tribulation 10 days. Now, I think what He was trying to point out right here is your troubles and your trials has got limitations. Amen. It can only last so long. Now, I've seen people that go through trials, seem like they've been in a trial most of their life. But one glorious day, as a child of God, they're getting out of it. It has its limitations. Troubles and trials ain't going to follow you into heaven. It's going to stay outside the gate. Thank God for that. But he says this, he says, be faithful unto death. You know, that's a strong statement, isn't it? People being put to death by the millions during this church age. People being put to death. But Jesus says, be faithful. Even in the face of death, I wonder what we would do if we were faced with that kind of situation. And we may be someday. This old world sure is headed in the wrong direction fast. Be faithful unto death. But he also mentions this about a crown of life. I'll give thee a crown of life. Be faithful unto death. I'll give you a crown of life. This old world can take your life, but it can't take your soul. Jesus said to fear not somebody that can destroy the body and can do no more, but fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Fear God. Trust God. And face your trials and your troubles in life, trusting in him. In Romans chapter 8 and verse number 18, Paul said he reckoned the sufferings of this present life are not worthy to be compared, for the glory shall be revealed in us. Suffering. You'll find suffering all throughout the New Testament church. It's just a thing that's going to happen. But notice this right here in closing. The focus of their trust, the faith was their treasure. The future of their trials, Jesus told them, thou shalt suffer. But then the final truth right here that he lays out in his word. He says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be heard of the second death. He mentions hearing. He mentions heeding. And he mentions a hurt of the second death. We that are saved, we better hear what the Spirit saith to the churches in this age that we live in. We better heed what he says to our church in our church age. And I thank God he says this. He added this right here. He said, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. You know, a man born once will die twice. A man born twice will die once. The one that faces this second death is the man that's only born once. And you look over in Revelation, latter part, chapter 20, I believe it is. The second death is that lake of fire that lost people will be cast into. Horror of horrors. If we could see that. It's a horrible thought. Horrible place. But I'm glad tonight that I ain't going there. Amen. I appreciate you being here tonight. Hope the Word of God's helped you.